Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this morning. I thank you for each and every person that's here, for our guests that have come to visit with us. Lord, just let us lift you up. Let us learn more about you. All these people that we have brought up to you and those that are on our heart that we may not have voiced their names. You know who they are, Lord, and what they need. We pray for all of our ones that are traveling. Give them safe trips. Lord, let them have a good vacation and restful time, as everybody needs that once in a while. Just continue to bless our pastor, our church, and all that we do, and let it be for your glory. We thank you for the great report of our sermon audio that's reaching people around the world. Thank you so very much for all the blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Okay, turning your Bibles to the book of Genesis. All right, in chapter 24, the book of Genesis, verse 62, I think is where I stopped right there. I marked it last week. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairah, for he dwelt in the south country. Now this is where Isaac was dwelling. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Now, again, bring you up to date, if you weren't here last week, is Isaac is waiting for Abraham's main servant to bring back him a wife. So he's waiting here at this well, and for his main servant, we're not giving his name, to bring back his wife. And he looks up. It shows you some part of the character of him as he's going out to meditate in a field in the evening time. I hope everybody has a time of meditation in your life each day, a particular time you set aside that you talk to the Lord and get with Him, get away from all the distractions of the world. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. She got off that camel pretty quick. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. That was a custom in those times. It still is the custom in the Middle East and a lot of places. A married woman, before she was married, she would cover her face with a veil, especially if she was about to meet her future husband. That's just part of their custom at those times. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her unto his mother, Sarah's tent. Now Sarah's dead now. But Isaac brings her into his mama's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. There's no comfort like a woman's comfort, okay? I speak from experience. Been married 45 years. All you men know what I'm talking about. To have a great wife, a comforting wife, there is just nothing on the face of this earth that comforts a man like a wife does. I mean, I've been through many trials in my life, and my wife has always been there, and she's always comforted me. In fact, I have in my Bible, when my dad died, it was probably one of the worst times of my entire life. And she went and got an old typewriter and typed up a little letter. I keep it in the front of my Bible at home, but telling me how much she loved me and all the things that we went through. It was a very comforting thing, and I keep that to this day. It's getting so old that it's turned yellow, but I keep it right there with me. So she comforted him. Isaac had a great companion now. Chapter 25 is very important because it's the last chapter that deals with Abraham's life, that great man. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Now this man's over 100 years old here. Sarah has died, and he's over 100 now, but he takes another wife named Keturah. By the way, her name means incense, by the way, sweet-smelling incense. Any of you who have dealt with incense, you ladies, you light your little incense candles or sticks in your home to make it smell good. If you're in real estate, you do that before you have an open house. I was an altar boy in the Catholic Church for a number of years, and I used to get to hold the incense burner and swing that big brass thing, And I got plenty of incense up my nose. By the way, if you're having sinus problems, it'll help you out real quick.
Carl, how many wives is this now for Abraham?
This is his second. But he had many concubines. Okay? We don't know how many.
But why didn't he marry the mother of the child when he had Hagar?
Well, God told him to cast her out. That's why she was just another slave in his entourage that he had. Now, this is the thing about Abraham. You know, God used this man. There wasn't any legal restrictions against what he did in this time. But, you know, they did these things. They had multiple wives. They had concubines. I'm not saying God approved of it, but he didn't issue a law until Sinai against all of those things. But men just did that in those times. Now, he's getting ready to have... Let's go on. I'll show you a little bit more about Abraham. And she bare him Zimran, and Joshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Eshbak, and Sheba. Now, this is... She bears him 6 sons after he's over 100 years old. On top of that, he wound up getting 7 grandsons out of this bunch, and 3 great-grandsons out of all these people here from Keturah. And Joshan begat Sheba and Dedan. Now, some of these names you will encounter later in the Old Testament as they cross paths with Israel. Most of them we don't know much about. Their genealogies are not followed any further than this right here. And sons of Dedan were Asherim, and Lethiam and Lethamim. Y'all pardon me if I don't pronounce them correctly, you English majors. And the sons of Midian were Epher, and Hanok, and Abinadab, and Eldiah. All these were the children of Keturah. So, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Now notice, it doesn't follow their genealogy any further. It just says this is who they are from this lady Keturah after he's 100 years old. Now, but verse 5 is very important. Out of all these descendants that Abraham has, he gives all that he has got to Isaac. Now, Isaac is the promised son that God told him he would have to carry on the lineage that God had given him to carry on. All these others are just somebody on the sideshow. They're not in the major picture. Verse 6. Looky here.
Carl,
go ahead.
Did they look, I don't know if you can answer this or not, did they love their sons back then like we love our sons today?
Yeah.
Or is it just another offspring by a concubine that didn't mean much?
Well, of course, that depends on the individual, but Abraham did. If you remember, the question is that, you know, did Abraham love his sons like we love our sons today? Abraham did. Now, a lot of them did. But Abraham did. If you remember, he talks to God about Ishmael. I mean, he loved Ishmael. He knew Ishmael wasn't to carry on his lineage, but he loved him. He said, "Hey, God, I got to cast him out of my tent, but I love him. What are you going to do for him? I'm going to make him a great nation." Okay? Yeah, he loved him. But, you know, when you spread your love around to so many kids like that, and it would be a very difficult process. I had 5 by one wife, and you know that was hard enough. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You had multiple children, and try to come home at night after a long day's work and spread out your love with 5 kids. I mean, it taxes you. I don't know how many he had. We don't know. But he had a whole bunch. Look at verse 6. But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son. Now he had a whole nother bunch of kids. We don't know how many. But notice what he does at the appropriate time. Now Isaac here is over 40 years old. Now, at the appropriate time, he gives them all gifts. He's a very wealthy man. He gives them all gifts, but he gets them out of his tent, out of his immediate presence, because he knows that when he dies, there's going to be a contention over the leadership of his group of people. And God had told him, Isaac is the one who's to be the chosen one and to lead. his son while he yet lived eastward into the east country. So he sent them all away into what you would call today Jordan and Edom. If you look on the map today, it would be the Jordan area somewhere in there. He sends them all out. He's getting old, knows his time is short. So he gets them out of the household so there's no contention. Anybody have any questions? Okay. Somebody asked me not long ago, how many children he had? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. He had a whole bunch of them. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived. 175 years. That's 175 years. That's how old Abraham was when he died. Then Abraham gave up the ghost, for the spirit really should have been translated, and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. That term, full of years, means that he lived out a full life with God as his close companion. He did what God told him to do. Not that he was perfect. We all know he wasn't. But God still used him because he was a man who loved God and he sought God's will in his life, even though he failed many times, just like all of us. And that's an example for us to take. We're all human. We all fail. And I hear so many people that call me and say, I just can't quit sinning. I'm so weak that I'm just going to give up trying to live the Christian life. We should never do this. You're human. You're going to fail. You don't plan to fail. We don't do that. But when we do have an advocate with the Father. We go to Christ. 1 John 1:9 is the greatest scripture in the Bible for Christians. If we confess our sins and ask Him to forgive us our sins, He is faithful and will remove our sins from us. That's basically what it says there. So that's the greatest scripture for Christians in the entire Bible. If you're a Christian, God will forgive you your sins. But Abraham, in spite of all his failings and everything else that he did, he was a man after God's own heart. God loved him, talked to him, and used him. So he was gathered to his people. Verse 9. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him. Not all the rest of them. Just the first two sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which was before Mamre. The field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried and Sarah his wife. So they took him, Ishmael and Isaac took him and buried him beside Sarah in that cave, which again, that cave is still there. They know where it is. You can go visit it. If you catch the Arabs on a good day, they'll let you in there. If you don't, you can't. If you're a Jew, you can only go up 7 steps. That's their restrictions now, by the way. Any questions? Okay. And it came to pass, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt by the well of Lahori. Isaac is the one person of the four patriarchs that never left that country. All the other three went to a foreign country. Abraham did, Isaac, and Joseph did. Joseph did. He went. Jacob went to a foreign country. All of them left that country except Isaac. He never left. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. Now they're going to give a few short verses here through 18. We'll give you the lineage of Ishmael, the one who really started the Arab race there. Here's his lineage. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nahabajah, Kedar, Abiel, Mibsam, Misma, Duma, and Mesa. I don't know where they got these names from. They are really simple. Hader, and Terma, Jetu, Naphish, and Kedemah. These are the sons of Ishmael. These are their names, by their towns, by their castles, or their encampments, really. There weren't castles in those days. 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. So he lived 137. He gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah and unto Shur, that is before Egypt, and as thou goest toward Assyria, and he died in the presence of all his brethren. That's the last they got to say about Ishmael. That ends his part in Scripture right there. So he did have 12 princes that set up 12 groups of people that God had promised Abraham because Abraham loved him. Any questions? Now we get into Isaac, the promised one. This is the one we're really interested in. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. Notice the same thing happens to Rebekah that happened to Sarah. She was barren at the start. Couldn't have any children. So Isaac goes to God and he prays, "Hey Lord, give us some children, please." Remember in those days, if you didn't have children, that was really a horrible affront upon your person. People thought that you had some kind of hidden sin and that God was punishing you for that. That was the attitude in those days. So you women, in those days, if you couldn't have children, you were really looked down upon. So he goes and begs God, said, "And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived." God listened to his prayer. God answers prayer. Not always the way we want it, but he does answer our prayer. Notice this. "And the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord." After she got pregnant, she noticed the children inside of her, plural, fighting each other, kicking a whole lot. Now, all of you know what I'm talking about. You ladies have had children. Most of you would have one that would get real active and kick and carry on. Or you men would be laying at night and get kicked in the back while you're trying to sleep because the baby's kicking. Well, she has two. And they were extra rowdy. So rowdy that she goes and asks God, says, "What is going on here? Boy, this is not normal. Something is wrong." "And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels.'" So God answers her question. "I'm going to tell you what's going on. You got two different kids in there. They are totally different and opposite, and they will go opposite ways when they're born. And there will be two different groups come out of them. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Now before the children even born, God tells us that the elder is going to serve the younger. Now this was an important statement, because in those days the firstborn was the one that was to get the birthright. Now the birthright meant this, that you became the leader of the whole group of people after the patriarch died. I mean, you became the spiritual leader, the physical leader, you became the dominant one. You got twice as much of an inheritance as anybody else did. So it was a big deal to be first. But he says here, God tells him, said, "Hey, I'm going to reverse the roles here. The elder is going to serve the younger. And the younger's descendants will become the stronger one over the other. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau," which means red or ruddy. So he comes out first. His name is Esau. "And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob." The word Jacob means heel snatcher. Really. So as he's coming out, following behind Esau, he's grasping at Esau's heel as he's coming out. Dr. Lanning, you would have had a unique experience there, wouldn't you? You ever had one like that? Not one? Okay. This is unique then, so mark it down. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Now he's 60 years old, Isaac. He's finally there having their children, twin boys. There's an old Jewish saying about these two boys. This is not scripture, but I'll tell this to you anyhow. It's kind of interesting. The old Jewish rabbis say that during the time she was pregnant, that any time she would walk around a pagan temple, that Esau would get excited inside of her, or any time that she would walk around something that was godly or an altar built for sacrifice to God, that Jacob would get excited. Tell the difference between their attitudes before they were even born. Now, that's not in Scripture. That's just something that the Jewish people teach their people. Any questions? Okay. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Now notice the difference here. He was a man's man. I mean, he's the kind of guy that, boy, you would really like. He was a hunter. He was a man's man. He went out and he just did all kind of manly, masculine things. And Jacob was a plain man. Means he was kind of a sissy, if you want to know the truth, okay? He was kind of, he would be a kind of a guy that you say, oh, he's a nerd. He's just a sissy. He stays around mom in the tent, dwelling in tents. This is the totally different attitude of two different boys born from the same mama and twins. Isaac loved Esau. Notice this. Hey, who does the old dad take to? He takes to the masculine kid because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah, she's the mama, she loves Jacob. Here's a division in the household already. Mama loves one, dad loves another. They take favoritism, and you got problems anytime you have that in the home. You know that. If you raise more than one child, there's always an incident when they will come to you and say, oh, Dad, you're taking favor with so-and-so over here. You treat them different. I heard that so many times, you know. And now as they've gotten grown and older, they said, Dad, I don't guess you really were you? I said, no. But I had to treat some of you different because of your personalities. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Esau been out hunting. Everything hadn't been too good that day. He's had a bad day hunting. He comes in back into the tent fold and he's hungry. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with what that same red pottage, for I'm faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, or red. That's what Edom means. He said, listen, you got some good stew going here. I'm starving. I need something to eat. There's no Walmarts or Kroger's around this time. You had what you had and that was it. And he said, I'm starving. I need something to eat right now. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Now Jacob is a cunning. He's a cunning man. He's shrewd. He manipulates. And he says, this is my opportunity. Boy, I'm going to take advantage of it. Now God had already promised him the birthright. But here he thinks, well, I'll just take a little advantage of the situation. I'm not going to wait on God. I'm going to go ahead and get this thing nailed down right now. But the thing is, he didn't have any right to do this. And Esau didn't have any right to give up his birthright because he didn't have it yet. Notice what it says. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do? He cared nothing about spiritual things. This is his attitude. He knew about this, all that God had promised Abraham and Isaac. He knew all about that. But when it came time for his birthright, which he should have, which meant he would be the spiritual leader of all this group of people, he wasn't interested in it. He didn't want it. All he cared about was doing his thing. He was a worldly man. So he says, hey, what good is that to me? I don't care anything about it. That's kind of like, you know, somebody taking a Bible and saying, I'm really not interested in that. I want to do something else. I want to do the world stuff. Have fun. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sweared to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Now that really wasn't a legal binding agreement between these two boys, because neither one of them had the power to inherit it at that point. But Jacob again is trying to take advantage of the situation, and Esau could care less about his spiritual inheritance from his father. And again, the pattern follows people today. Okay? Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Again, it's a pattern that we see today over and over. I see it in people fighting over estates after somebody dies. I mean, the incredible tales. Some of you all could even tell me in your families about people arguing and fighting over estates and things, not caring about the spiritual attitude or what kind of a testimony they leave behind when those situations arise. But they care more about the stuff. I had a man come to me last week. I'll just tell you this little short story. Spent almost an hour in my front yard because his family was dividing up an estate, and there was an old bed about 150 years old made by some craftsman, and things is rotting, about to fall apart, and the whole family is absolutely at each other's throats over this stupid old bed. I'm sorry, that's what it is. So, and he was crying on my shoulder about all of it, and asked me what I thought he ought to do. He said he was so upset, he was going to take his camper and leave town. I said, tell him to hire a lawyer and pay him $250 an hour. Let him sell it. Back out of it. I wouldn't fool with it. I want to read you something here about Isaac and Jacob and Esau and what came of them. The Arab tribes really came from this group and this fighting here that we had here from Esau and Ishmael. That's where they all came from. There was a commentator that wrote something about this, and it was so good that I want to read it to you. I can't put it any better, but I think for chapter 25 it really bears out something. And I just want to read this little comment that he said. The Lord had promised Abraham that the son of the bondwoman would not go unblessed. Okay? He loved it. Since Ishmael had spurned spiritual things in mocking at Isaac, God could not bless him with spiritual blessings, but he did bestow temporal blessings upon him. Here was a man who was rich and increased with goods, who felt his need of nothing. Here was a man who was destitute of spiritual wealth. He was poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked in the things that mattered the most. Like his half-nephew Jacob, Ishmael found 12 tribes. From these tribes sprang the Arab peoples who have contributed much. Now, the reason I'm reading this to you is think of the headlines you are seeing today, okay? I mean, turn on the news 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and these two groups of people are involved in this. Now, this goes back to the tents of Abraham. We're now seeing, and I fully believe this in my heart, that we are reaching the end stage of this conflict, okay? I can only give you a date or time frame, but I do believe we are beginning to reach the end stage of this conflict that was started in the tents of Abraham between the Arabs and the Jews. Our president was over there this week trying to make peace with them. Anyway, I'm not going to make any more comment about that. But the Arab peoples who have contributed much, perhaps more than most, except for the Jews. Let me say it. More Jews have received the Nobel Prize than any group of people on the face of the earth, and they're one of the smallest groups of people, by the way. They have contributed much, the Arabs have, to the world's culture and to the world's cruelty. The atrocious African slave trade was largely the work of the Arabs. Now, they don't teach you that in American history books. They teach you that the Civil War was fought over slavery, and that was one of the issues. But what they don't teach is where the slave trade really came from and who started it. The Arabs were doing it years before. The seminal spiritual darkness of Islam, I'm talking about the religion, it is darkness. The spiritual darkness of Islam is yet another Arab contribution. That started in about 700 A.D. by Mohammed. Okay? Now look what it's blown into. Another Arab contribution to the woes of the world. And persistently to this day, Israel's bitterest foe have been of the Ishmaelite stock. You're seeing the result of it today. Anybody have any questions? Any comments? Okay. Call off for quiet. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this study. Thank you for the history that you have written that helps us to understand thousands of years later, Lord, the issues that are going on in our world that affect us daily. Each and every one of us are in direct effect of this battle that started in the tents of Abraham. Thank you for helping us to understand it, to know what is coming in the future, for guiding and directing our lives, Lord, and for giving us the truth. We thank you for those Americans who are out there today in the forefront of the battle of the evil one who is trying to use people and nations to destroy your old ancient people, Israel, and would like to destroy your church, the body of believers, Lord. Thank you for those men and women who are sacrificing so much to give us this freedom that we enjoy here today. Your holy and precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great week and call me if you need me.